Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. I'm excited about our next segment because we have a first-timer that's making his appearance on our program today. Author Donald Joyner is here to discuss not only his love of history and also scripture, but how he's been able to bring the two things together in his novel, The Antioch Testament. We're going to talk to him not only about what led him to write the book, but also what it's been like for him already to see the way that people are responding to it. The book is now officially out. We'll tell you all a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Donald, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Cyrus.
Well, Donald, I mentioned to you that one of the scriptures that came to my mind as I was reading your book was 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that mentions that all of those who wish to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. We're able to see that not only in the characters you've been able to create in the Antioch Testament, but also, of course, as we reflect on the life of early Christians as well. What has that been like for you, Donald, to not only to reflect on that scripture, but also to think about, through your love of history and scripture, you know, how individuals who have made that decision to follow the example of Christ, you know, the price they've had to pay for that?
Well, of course, we see on news today the price that many Eastern Christians are paying for their faith. But Cyrus, to really respond to your point, I've always been intrigued by the great transformation that came over the individuals who chose to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at them, in the Gospels, which some of them wrote, we see grasping, selfish individuals who seem to never really get what Jesus was all about. And in fact, on the road to Jerusalem, on that last journey, when Jesus had told them that he was going there to die, we have that case in point where two of them, James and John, got their mother to try to intercede with Jesus to raise them to some important positions to his right and to his left in his earthly kingdom, which he was never about. So then we have them later, after the resurrection and certainly after Pentecost, when all of their fears and all of their doubts vanished, and they set out on the dangerous roads of the Roman Empire to carry the faith as far as they could. So to me, that's one of the most intriguing parts of the New Testament, is that transformation that came over those men.
Right. Right. And, you know, I think I love the fact, and even though your book has the modern references in it, Donald, I love the fact that even going back to, you know, to before Jesus walked the earth, going back to John the Baptizer and his message, and how you were able to illustrate how some people are today. You know, how dare you say that this is, you know, going to be, you know, the Son of God? You know, you, in one part of the book, you even say, you have one of the individuals saying, you know, where is it even written that God would have a son? Right. You know, do you think that one of the interesting things about history and about scripture and about us today is that it really shows that there are some people out there that believe what they believe so strongly, whether it's, you know, based on anything factual or not, that they are willing to do anything to protect that belief?
I think so, and I think there's a graphic TV representation of a group of men kneeling on the shores of Libya about to be beheaded because they were Christian. Mm-hmm. I think they could have certainly changed their faith in face of that terrible group that they were imprisoned by, and have adopted another faith and perhaps saved their lives, but they didn't.
What has it been like for you personally, Donald, because I think it goes to the heart of the Antioch Testament. What has it been like for you personally to think about what was sacrificed so that you could have the life that you have today and the opportunity that you have today?
Well, my life has been changed by a number of things, But by and large, it's been changed by the model of these apostles. If you could take a guy like Peter, who could bumble and stumble just as I've bumbled and stumbled, and find out that this guy is the one that Jesus chose to lead his apostles, you'd never understand that from reading the Gospels. It's only when you get to Acts that you see how that transformation took place.
Right.
And that kind of transformation, I think, Cyrus, takes place every day with individuals.
Exactly. Exactly. And individuals like you, Donald, have been able to help others in that transformation by sharing, of course, the scriptures with them. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Donald Joyner is joining us today. We're talking to him not only about his new book that's out now, The Antioch Testament, but what it's been like for him to bring to life for many these individuals from the scriptures. And I thought about that, too, when I was prepping for this segment. Donald, what a unique gift you've been able to give. And because for me, as I was reading the book, of course, I was, you know, familiar with a great deal of the individuals that you referenced, because we get to know them through Scripture. But for those who have not read the Scriptures or those who are not familiar, have you found that to be one of the interesting things, to see how they're able to see how even for the first century, you know, Christians, how life was difficult for them as it is difficult for us today?
Yes. I think it was certainly difficult for them, and it was as difficult for them as it is for us today. I don't think they had much of an idea of anything other than the charisma of Jesus when they initially followed him. I've always felt that when we read the shorthand version, which is the New Testament, it tells us that when Jesus called them to come follow him, he would make them fishers of men. They immediately left their boats and followed him. That's intriguing in itself. What would make you abandon your occupation to go off and follow an itinerant carpenter?
Yeah. What a great thing. So I mentioned in the beginning of this conversation, Donald, that you have a love not only of Scripture but also of history. What was it that developed that love for you? Because I think everything has a beginning, and a book like the Antioch Testament that goes into so many of the pivotal individuals we meet in Scripture, you know, definitely shows how much you have given this thought and also given this research. How did this journey begin for you to not only to want to know about history but also want to know the individuals that we read about in the Bible?
Well, the journey began early for me, as I recall, as a high school student. The subject that I seemed to do best at was history. And I had a professor, a teacher, who applauded me. And I had never been applauded for anything, but he applauded me for what I had written. And that just set me afire. I love history from that moment on. Went to school, became a teacher of history, and have always followed it, even in other occupations that I've had. I've always enjoyed reading history. I especially enjoyed Will Durant's Story of Civilization. To me, that's reading for excitement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now you've been able to share that with others. Donald, I was reading when I was prepping for this segment that has been one of the things that you have enjoyed as well. I mean, I believe, and I think we all are in a unique position, and I tell our audience this all the time, Donald, that you don't have to have a position. You don't have to have a radio show or a platform like this to be able to inspire someone, or at least to get them to thinking about things differently, or to, you know, to share a new thought with them. But what is it like for you to see how history, how Scripture is able to come alive to those who you've been able to share it with?
Well, one point that stayed with me throughout the development of this book was the news that we continue to get about the terrible persecution of the Christians in the East. And when you look at it, Cyrus, this persecution really has been going on for 2,000 years. And people have maintained their faith against horrible persecutions. And today we're seeing it. Not much is being done about it. But what I hoped to do was to draw the attention of many Americans to such a horrible situation that exists overseas, and their fellow Christians that are undergoing so much, and we seem to be, as a people, blissfully unaware.
Yeah, I think that's it. Do you think because, and I thought about this too, Donald, do you think partially because some people still question the relevance? You know, they think, they look at history, you know, in general sometimes as being dead. Do you think they don't understand, as do the characters in your book, that really risk their lives to share this information that, that the Antioch Testament, you know, is based on? Do you think that that type of earnestness and that type of, you know, of desire is one thing that they don't understand or appreciate?
Well, it may be. I think the miracle is this, Cyrus. The miracle is that an itinerant carpenter came out of an insignificant village in Galilee, gathered a group of fishermen and tax collectors and other people that would be considered riffraff, like Simon, who was a known revolutionary. And within 3 years, he was gone, and the message was left up to these frail individuals to carry. Now, how well they did it is the miracle. We know that within 300 years, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. We know that during the time of the apostles, traditions tell us that the faith was spread as far as China. Today, over 800 billion individuals call themselves Christians. That's the miracle.
Yeah, I think that is so true, and I think that is what, you know, really comes, you know, comes to life for us. I want to talk about the characters that you've been able to create, those including, you know, Dr. Banker and even Ken that we were able to meet in the book, Father Michael. I mean, what was it like for you to create these characters, Donald, as you are sharing what was in this mysterious book that was discovered?
Well, I think that all characters have a bit of the author in them. Some of them are based on individuals that I have known through a rather long life. But mostly, they really were created because they were responding to certain events that took place. I knew I needed linguists. I knew I needed historians. And so that's how they were created. Father Michael especially was reminds me of someone that that I knew and held dear earlier in life.
And I think that having those characters like Ken, Father Michael, and you know, and the doctor, I think that definitely helps, you know, us to be able to bring it to our time. Was that also part of your hope that that would be the case, that as you were looking back in the past, that you were able to, through these characters you've added, to be able to help us see the relevance for us today and to have the conversations about things that we've read that maybe we never thought about before?
That was my hope, Cyrus. That was my hope.
So take us into the process then, Donald. I mean, because I was curious about the amount of time. I mean, how much time passed from the idea for the Antioch Testament to the actual finishing of it?
About 3 years.
Wow.
It was I started to write about the Apostle Thomas, and then I decided to broaden the scope. And because it seemed to me that though I was writing a novel, that novel was based on early church traditions, which are really there for anyone to investigate and find out. I didn't make up places where these apostles went to. I simply used the traditions that the early church had about where they went. I didn't make up what happened to them, because these traditions tell us exactly what happened to them. It was just a matter of trying to put it all together and say, we've always been a persecuted people. These are the models that we can follow.
Yeah. You know, another thing to think about, I think, for all of us who are reading this book, and I thought about it, I mean, of course, you brought up the book of Acts, and even this was something that Jesus had mentioned, you know, that, and we saw it even in his life, that the lack of appreciation, even though the Jews were God's favored people, because of the way they treated his son, because of the way that they responded to the message, those who were sharing the message then shared it with others. The Gentiles then had the opportunity. Do you think that's a powerful thing for us all to remember, that our lack of appreciation can cause us to miss out on a wonderful inheritance?
Yes, I do. I definitely do. If you take, again, the model of the apostles themselves, not only did they think that they were going to see a restored Davidic kingdom with Jesus as its head, they saw themselves as occupying roles within that earthly kingdom. And then all of that came to a sudden and dramatic stop when in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was taken into custody. And the apostles who wrote that at that Last Supper, they had all said they would stand by Jesus even if it meant their death. And the Gospels tell us they all ran away. So there they were during the crucifixion, probably cowering in cellars in Jerusalem, afraid for their lives, only desiring to get back to Galilee and get back in the fishing business. And suddenly they are confronted by the risen Christ. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but that's followed by the experience of Pentecost. They were so changed. They can be role models for all of us. If those things happen, if they change those men from what they were to what they became, that's God's great miracle.
Exactly. You know, I think that is that. You know, do you think part of what has happened, and, you know, we don't have to get too much into this, Donald, it's totally up to you, but do you think part of what has happened is that we've taken so much for granted, that we don't really appreciate not only, of course, you know, what was done on our behalf, but also at what cost it was done?
Yes, I think so. I think modern life has tended to erode the values that we once had when we were a less technical people. I think we're preoccupied with the electronic inventions today. I think we've got so much on our minds that we don't really think too much about what's going to happen in the afterlife. We're consumed with living in the day. And that's unfortunate. I hope that we can begin to reflect that what we have here is only a brief instant of time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's really what we do in that time that really does matter. You know, I think, you know, even as you wrote about and shared, you know, the end of Paul's life and why it ended. And, you know, and what he was willing again to do, you know, even knowing what the consequences were. I think it would help us all to better appreciate, for one, how good we have it today,
that's
especially
true.
Those who are joining us in the United States, but also, you know, what so many people, as you even referenced earlier, Donald, what so many people are still having to do just because of their faith and what they are willing to, you know, to believe and to share with others. Again, everyone, Donald Joyner has been our guest for this segment. Great conversation with you today, Donald. He's celebrating the release of his new book, The Antioch Testament, a novel about the lives of the apostles after the resurrection. The book is available through our friends at Amazon.com. I encourage you all to go over there and get it for yourself. It's published through Serafina Press. And, Donald, do you have a website or anything you'd like to share with our audience?
If anyone would like to get in touch with me, DonaldJoyner.com.
All right. He's made it very easy for you, DonaldJoyner.com. Donald, thank you so much again for coming by, and I hope you'll stop by the program again.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Okay, you're more than welcome. I want to thank our good friend Mary Glenn McCombs for setting up this conversation with us for today. I also want to thank you, our audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media friends at facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and even share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.